People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 424.
On Now You Know. Today's show is sponsored by our wonderful Patreons. So, Tesla Optimist tweeted out, "Navigating by myself.
First, we see that Optimus's stride has become more confident, walking more like a human.
And now, because one Optimus can share what it has seen with all Optimuses in the building, the whole fleet of robots can walk around knowing what they're walking into and avoid obstacles.
Then Optimus can navigate to the nearest charging station when its batteries are getting low and back up to the charger using its rear camera only.
Then when it's charged up, it can head back to work.
Here you can see Optimus putting batteries into a tray and then carrying the 11 kilogram tray to where it's needed.
And now Optimus is working to navigate stairs.
And Optimus can interact with people. Here you can see Optimus serving hungry Tesla engineers, taking their orders autonomously for chips and a drink.
These skills are learned using a single neural net. Now, all the neural nets currently used by Optimus, so that's the manipulation tasks, the obstacle detection, the navigation, those are all run on its embedded computer directly.
And again, as each Optimus learns how to do a task better, all the Optimi now know how to do the task better as well.
And I think this is something that most people don't get because we are individuals and we can only learn by talking to each other and reading books and so forth. Whereas Optimi can just automatically learn what all the other Optimuses have learned if they want to.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
And speaking of autonomous robots, Tesla posted this video of the Cybercab wirelessly charging.
Tesla tweeted, "Robotaxi wireless charging, no hands required." Well, that looks like an easy thing to install.
All right, let's get those Tesla wireless car chargers installed here. X marks the spot.
Boom, there you go, Stan. Just need to connect up the wires here and we're done.
That was easy. No digging, no concrete. Heck, a robot could install one of these.
Hey, shut up, Stan.
What?
If Tesla figures that out, we could be out of a job.
Oh, crap. Yeah, so if you look closely during the video, you will notice that it says 24 kilowatts on the screen. So that's what we're assuming the wireless charging can do at the moment.
Isn't that a little slow?
Does seem a little slow. It's level 2 charging. But it's at the upper range of level 2 charging. So if there are hours during the day that the Cybercab isn't picking up passengers, this would do it. But I don't know. I feel like people are wrong about how long the cars aren't going to be used. I mean, we're all thinking that like from midnight to 6 a.m., everyone's asleep, but there's still plenty of people getting to work and doing things.
But I mean, if we think about it, we don't know anything about the Cybercab in terms of stats. We don't know how big a battery it is.
Well, we are going to talk about that later on PBS.
But we also don't know how efficient it is. Mm-hmm. And so these 24 kilowatts, while on, say, a Model Y, that might be fairly fast, but not necessarily fast enough if you were going to be driving it around all day. This is a much smaller vehicle than even the Model 3. So I'm assuming that it gets even more distance per unit energy that it charges itself with.
Well, we are going to talk about that today on Patreon bonus stories, and we have some pretty good ideas of what it might be.
Ooh, okay.
So Elon has been traveling throughout Pennsylvania, stumping for Donald Trump and trying to get out the vote. Elon said, "Tomorrow night through Monday, I'll be giving a series of talks throughout Pennsylvania. If you'd like to attend one of my talks, there's no attendance fee. You just need to have signed our petition supporting free speech." And during these kind of town hall events, he has been answering questions from the crowd. Now, one question that came up Friday night in Philadelphia was why Tesla has not bought Rivian. And Elon responded, I wish them the best. I hope they do well. The car industry is a very difficult industry. There's only two U.S. car companies that haven't gone bankrupt, and that's Ford and Tesla. Rivian's going to have a hard time. It's insanely difficult to compete in the car industry. If it were not for two technology discontinuities, one being electrification and the other being autonomy, I think Tesla could not succeed without solving both. So that's interesting. I mean, these are funny because as town halls, he's the CEO of a publicly traded company. And so he can't say everything, right? Because the SEC wouldn't allow that, I assume. It's kind of like an earnings call. He has to be careful about forward-looking statements. But here he's basically didn't sound that interested in buying Rivian. What did you think?
If he wanted to buy Rivian, he could have bought them at any point. I just don't see what they'd get. Tesla has a pickup truck. Rivian has a pickup truck. Tesla has two SUVs. Rivian has an SUV and more.
And now Tesla has a robovan.
I mean, I will push back. Rivian hasn't gone bankrupt.
True.
Yet. So, you know, and Lucid, they haven't gone bankrupt yet. They just, if you keep getting money from the Saudis, you never go bankrupt. It's just magic.
And as part of this Register to Vote campaign, Elon's PAC, the America PAC, is giving away $1 million a day to one lucky winner who signs the petition saying they support the First and Second Amendments to the Constitution. Now, the first winner got their check Friday night on stage in Philadelphia.
And Elon said every day from now through November 5th, America PAC will be giving away $1 million to someone in swing states who signed our petition to support free speech and the right to bear arms.
We really want to try to get as many people as possible to sign this petition. So I have a surprise for you, which is that we are going to be awarding $1 million to randomly to people who have signed the petition every day from now until the election. So, you know, one of the challenges we're having is like, well, how do we get people to know about this petition? Because the legacy media won't report on it. You know, not everyone's on X. So I figure, how do we get people to know about it? Well, this news, I think, is going to really fly. So... So every day between now and the election, we'll be awarding $1 million, starting tonight. All right. So, tonight's person is John Dreyer. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
So, by the way, John had no idea. So, anyway, you're welcome. Yeah.
So congratulations to John Dreyer.
So this means that there's going to be 18 new American millionaires by Election Day.
Yeah, America PAC was also paying $100 to each registered voter that signed the petition and $47 to individuals in each of the swing states that refers another person who registers to vote. Elon said if you're a registered Pennsylvania voter, you and whoever referred you will now get $100 for signing our petition in support of free speech and the right to bear arms.
And Tesla is also in the giving mood, sending emails to customers in the U.S. and Canada this week about another 30-day free trial for Tesla's full self-driving software.
Now, this is the second time Tesla has offered a free 30-day trial, the last time being back in March, April of this year.
So why do you think Tesla is doing it again?
I think it's two reasons. Number one, now that FSD 12.5 is out, which is even better than 12.3, I think Tesla is hoping that some customers will pull the trigger and either start subscribing to FSD for $99 a month or perhaps buy it for $8,000 for the life of the vehicle. All of these subscriptions and sales are almost pure profit for Tesla. Number two, the free trial can also help boost sales of Tesla vehicles.
How's that?
Well, you give your neighbor or family member an FSD test drive and they're like, what? This is amazing. I need this. And then they go buy a Tesla.
Hmm. Now, has full self-driving really gotten to the point where it's going to convince people to spend $8,000 or subscribe for $99 a month?
I think so. I think that there's a bunch of use cases here where people finally realize that it's not just a 15-year-old driving my car and I have to constantly, it's like a 17-year-old driving your car. And so if you're older or if you have a long commute, like this is a game changer and it's only getting better. I mean, we're going to have version 13 soon. Hey, Jesse, did you know that there's over 1.3 million annual incidents of violent crime, property crime, intimidation, destruction or damage or vandalism of property, drug, narcotic violations? And those are only the ones that take place in parking garages, parking lots, and gas stations.
That's like 3,600 per day.
Yeah. So what if that happened to you at a supercharger?
You can't drive away because you're plugged in.
You can now. See this broken one? This is an EV Jack connector. Remember when we were at the supercharger and we just drove away?
Yes. So this plugs into the supercharger handle and then plugs into your car. And all you have to do is stop charging and you can drive away. This part will break in half. One part stays in your car. The other one stays on the head of the supercharger adapter to protect it. And then you get to drive away.
There's only one place in the world to get it. That's at evjack.com.
So don't be afraid this Halloween. Head over to evjack.com, pick up an escape connector, and stay safe out there. Omid Afshar is an important person at Tesla, but you may not have heard of him before.
Yeah, in July of 2020, Omid was entrusted by Elon with being in charge of Giga Texas as it started construction.
Now Omid is being promoted to a new role, Senior Vice President overseeing operations in North America and Europe.
So this is the role that Tom Zhu used to hold.
Correct. Tom Zhu has gone back to China earlier this year to focus on Giga Shanghai and the mega factory over there. Omid will report directly to Elon, while senior executives in Europe and North America will report to him.
Now, didn't Omid have something to do with that glass house scandal back in July of 2022?
You mean Project 42, when the U.S. Department of Justice and the SEC were investigating Elon for building a glass house near Austin using glass purchased by Tesla? You mean those probes that have not turned up anything in more than 2 years? And do you know why?
Tell me why.
Why?
Because they were politically motivated and not based on fact.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about this more on Patreon bonus stories this week as well. The media loves to report on people leaving Tesla, but they rarely report on all the amazing people who commit years of service to Tesla, like Ashok Elaswamy, who has been with Tesla for almost 11 years.
He has served as director of autopilot software for half of that time. That's 5.5 years.
And now Elon has promoted him to VP of AI software. So congratulations, Ashok.
Congratulations.
And Cybertruck posted.
We all know what the deciding contribution was. What was it?
Maybe it was because Cybertruck actually got FSD by the end of September, which was like a promise, and he held to it.
And I guess Cybertruck was very appreciative. That's why it sent it that tweet.
Yeah, and I mean, I also think because Ashok pretty much pulled off the We Robot event.
Pretty much?
I mean, his team did a wonderful job.
Can we just talk about that for a second? Anybody get hit by a car at the We Robot event?
I know. 1,500 drunk people, everyone safely returned
1,500
home.
Drunk people. 50 at fully autonomous cars and robots walking around.
Robots, right?
I mean, I know that there were people and not everyone was, you know, running around, but seriously.
I know.
And Milan Kovac, who is Tesla's director of Optimus and autopilot engineering, has been promoted to VP of Optimus.
Milan has been with Tesla for over 8 years, so he started as a staff software engineer for the autopilot team.
And now just 8 years later, he's a vice president.
So congratulations to Omid, Ashok, and Milan this week. All right, time for Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup. We started to see invitations going out last week, and now it appears that Tesla has wrapped up sales of the Cybertruck Foundation Series.
So the non-Foundation Series all-wheel drive version is for sale on Tesla's website now for $79,990. That's 325 miles of EPA-rated range, 11,000 pounds of towing capacity, and 0 to 60 in 4.1 seconds.
The three-motor Cyber Beast is for sale starting at $99,990. That's 301 miles of EPA-rated range, the same towing capacity, and 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds.
Wow, that's faster than a Model X and also faster than the Rivian R1T. Yeah. So that was 11 months of Foundation Series with approximately 30,000 Cybertrucks sold, or around $3 billion in revenue from Cybertrucks so far.
We don't know what Tesla's margins on Cybertruck are yet, but it's only going to improve as Tesla ramps production. Now, obviously, as you start to ramp production of a new vehicle, your margins are going to be in the negative, in the red most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so having the foundation series could kind of help mitigate that a little bit, since right. most customers were paying about $20,000 more.
Exactly.
But it's a really good sign that they're switching over off of foundation series. I think that some people thought that the foundation series was only going to last like a month, mm-hmm. Which is a good job on Tesla for basically keeping the margins high mm-hmm. or higher. But I think that this is, shows a really good sign that they might be moving into profitability on the Cybertruck.
I think you're right.
So according to data from Cox Automotive, in Q3, the top three selling electric vehicles in the United States were Teslas.
That's right, folks. The niche Cybertruck has just overtaken the Ford Mach-E, which had been in third place the quarter before.
The Cybertruck also outsold the Ford F-150 Lightning by 2.3 times more units.
And keep in mind, this is all while the Cybertruck was
ramping up production and
costing north of $100,000. Now that the non-Foundation series models are going on sale for $20,000 less, which means many people can get a Cybertruck for $72,500, so $27,500 less, or 27.5% less. And
Cybertruck was being panned by the mainstream press, saying that it was a joke.
Now that there are 20,000 plus Cybertrucks on the roads and people are actually getting to experience them in person and see how amazing they are,
well, the numbers speak for themselves. In Q3, the Tesla Model Y was, of course, the best-selling EV in the U.S. with 86,801 sales.
The Model 3 took second place with 58,423 sales, and the Cybertruck had 16,692 sales to take third place over the Mach-E in fourth place with 13,392 units sold. Now, I didn't expect this to happen so fast. I mean, Tesla only started delivering the Cybertruck in low quantities last November.
And keep in mind, this data is from Q3, that's July through September, less than a year later. Ford has been making the Mach-E since December of 2020. That is 3 years before the Cybertruck.
Yeah, and the Ford F-150 Lightning started deliveries in May of 2022. That's a year and a half before Cybertruck.
And yet Cybertruck overtook them both. Amazing.
And Elon said, Cybertruck is just such an awesome product. You don't realize how fun and useful it is until you try it. And I think that's the comment we get most from people like, do you like Cybertruck? And when we tell them how much we do, they're like, really? I don't think they understand how nimble and fun this truck is to drive. I think it could be a daily driver easily.
Yes. I mean, I can park it. Like when I'm driving in a parking lot and I see a parking space, you know, that's where the two cars are on either side of the space in the Ford, I would go, I can't fit there.
That's a 5-point turn.
I can't, because you literally can't. In the Cybertruck, I just go, whoop, and I pull right in because of the rear wheel steering. That part is such a game changer to me. It really transforms it from being a truck into being something that I can actually drive.
Yeah, and soon it's going to auto park itself. Aravind Srinivas, the CEO of Perplexity AI, posted, the Answer truck drove more than 1,000 miles using FSD from California to Texas, and it's stopping by in Austin tomorrow for a Perplexity user meetup.
And Elon said,
cool.
That is actually really cool, that rap. It, like, shiny Perplexity word on it.
Shiny.
Hey, and if you want to find out about all the Cybertruck news and more, head on over to our sponsors, the Cybertruck Owners Club. There you can find out the answers to all of your questions that you have about Cybertruck. And once you become an owner, you can post answers to everyone who's asking. So we have a fun review for you this week on our sister channel, Now Let's Review. It is a folding e-bike with a trailer.
This is so cool. Check out Zach riding around on the Mach Wheel Slate e-bike pulling a trailer.
There are so many uses for a trailer on an e-bike. So you can carry groceries, deliver packages. Heck, you could even be a tradesman hauling tools to a job site.
I think the best part is the pet tent accessory, so you can bring your dogs with you on a ride.
Yeah, and if you've never ridden an e-bike, I hear some of you saying like, but that would be so much work pulling a trailer.
But not with an e-bike, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I barely noticed I was pulling it.
There's a lot of cool features and some specials that Mach Wheel are running right now. If you'd like to get the trailer for free, so go check out our review and learn all about it.
And if you want to be able to bring dogs on your next e-bike adventure, this might be the e-bike for you. So effective October 11th, NLX Way North America shut down.
Isn't that the EV charging company that made the juice box chargers?
Yes. And that means that many of their commercially installed chargers, like in parking lots and for businesses, may be orphaned. But check this out. Charge Labs and Smart Charge America are teaming up to combat the NLX Way shutdown.
As our buddy Joe Barletta, founder and CEO of Smart Charge America, said, the hardware is the component we're we're keeping our eyes on. We cannot and will not let the marketplace take a backseat to another industry-wide setback that can be easily solved with the help of our superior electricians in the field.
So should any business feel they want to move away from their existing NL X-Way chargers, Smart Charge America will provide free rip and replacement services.
Well, I'm sad that NL X-Way shut down, but I'm happy to see that Smart Charge America is stepping up and always putting EV charging first.
Thank you, guys. And speaking of charging issues, if you are a Ford EV owner who received the NACS adapter from Ford like we did, pay attention.
What? Adapter's falling from the sky.
Ford has issued a warning on their website saying, as part of ongoing testing, your adapter has been identified by Ford to have a potential issue that may result in reduced charging speeds over time and, in some cases, charge port damage. As such, Ford does not recommend using the adapter initially supplied to you with any vehicle from this time on, and we will be sending you a replacement.
We have a Ford F-150 Lightning, and we've gotten no word from Ford what the actual damage could be.
My conjecture... is that Ford had these adapters manufactured without enough thermal protection, and Tesla is worried that they might melt and cause fires, damaging both the superchargers and also the vehicles and the supercharger's reputation. But yeah, that must have cost Ford a lot of money, because I mean, those are not cheap adapters. They're like $200 if you buy them new, and they sent them out, I think, to tens of thousands of customers, and now they're like, don't use them.
What? How? Did you mess that up, Ford?
I'm in charge of the Ford adapter department. Oh, crap.
I don't get it. What? It's not like, I know it looks like it might be complicated. I'm here to tell you that it is not. It is a plastic box with wires in it and little things that connect into the... What?
So, of course, you checked them for thermal properties, right?
We shipped them. We put them in boxes.
Sorry, sir. We didn't know that they would get warm.
What's an EV?
Gas pumps don't get warm. I didn't know.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, it's time for some SpaceX news with our buddy Eli. Take it away.
Welcome back to the Starman Report. I'm Eli Burton, your host. And man, was this an exciting week for SpaceX. On Sunday, we watched SpaceX make a successful catch on the very first attempt of recovering the Starship Super Heavy booster. This was an incredible sight and a truly historic moment in the history of spaceflight development. And that event alone would have made this week incredible, but it doesn't stop there. On Monday, October 14th, SpaceX launched a Falcon Heavy carrying the Europa Clipper mission for NASA. Europa Clipper is the first mission designed to study Jupiter's moon Europa. There is scientific evidence that the conditions for life exist on Europa right now, so NASA is sending a probe to explore it. So currently, the Europa Clipper is headed toward Mars, where it will come within 300 to 600 miles of the surface, then slingshot back towards Earth, coming about 2,000 miles from us. Through these gravity assists, Europa Clipper will reach the necessary velocity to reach Jupiter by April of 2030. And yes, the Clipper is going to take a loop around Mars, then a loop back around Earth, just to reach the speed necessary to reach Jupiter in a reasonable amount of time. We are currently in an era of space exploration where the primary focus is increasing lift off the planet with what is known as heavy lift launch vehicles. Once heavy lift is solved, of which the SpaceX Starship is a critical component, the next priority for spaceship development will be engine technology so that we can increase the speed of our travel between celestial bodies in the vacuum of space. If you like science fiction, or have ever seen Star Trek, Star Wars, or even Spaceballs,
ludicrous speed! Go!
You are familiar with the concept of speed of light travel. The good news is that for exploration of our solar system, we don't need to go anywhere close to light speed travel to make interplanetary travel and exploration possible. At a speed of just 1/10,000th the speed of light, we could complete the 1.8 billion miles of the Europa Clipper mission in 1 hour instead of what is currently 5 years. Science is fun, isn't it? Anyway, back to the present. SpaceX has just secured new U.S. government contracts valued at $733 million. And here's what the contracts entail. These missions are integral to the NSSL Phase 3 program, which provides strategic launches to the U.S. defense and intelligence communities. Which all of that means is we are not exactly going to find out what's going on these missions because it's a matter of national security, but it's great to see SpaceX continuing to win the government's trust and responsibility. SpaceX really has become a well-oiled machine in a way that has never existed in the history of human spaceflight. For our kids, seeing a rocket going to space is going to be normal. And how exciting is that? Well, guys, that's all for this time. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of the Starman Report. And back to you, Zach and Jesse.
Thanks, Eli. And for some more SpaceX news, last Friday, SpaceX submitted a request to the FCC for several small but meaningful updates to its second-generation Starlink satellite network, saying together, this modification and its companion amendment will enable the Gen 2 system to deliver gigabit speed, truly low-latency broadband, and ubiquitous mobile connectivity to all Americans and the billions of people globally who still lack access to adequate broadband.
SpaceX is requesting to lower the orbital altitudes of its satellite shells by 45 kilometers and 60 kilometers, and utilizing the E-band frequencies for improved service delivery.
SpaceX is also requesting that the FCC let them deploy 29,988 satellites. So back in 2022, the FCC only granted permission for 7,500 satellites.
These Gen 2 satellites are slated to be deployed using SpaceX's Starship.
Yeah, Elon said the next generation Starlink satellites, which are so big that only Starship can launch them, will allow for a 10x increase in bandwidth and with the reduced altitude, faster latency.
And I think that a lot of people are going to get worried. And they're going to be like, the satellites are closer to us. They're going to hit me in the head. And it's like, no, actually, if you really want to think about orbital health, it's actually better to have the satellites lower because right. then if they, you know, do malfunction or something, it's a shorter amount of time until they deorbit themselves naturally.
Burning up in the atmosphere.
In the atmosphere, they're not going to hit you in the head. Elon posted, note, gigabits per second speeds can already be achieved by using 3 to 4 satellite terminals together. Future terminals will be able to achieve over 1 gigabit per second in a single unit.
I didn't know either of these things. I mean, I guess I thought that Starlink was never going to compete with like hardwired internet. But if the FCC grants SpaceX their latest permit for 30,000 more Gen 2 satellites, this could be a game changer in how the world connects to the internet.
Because let's not forget, for all of you who were asleep for the past week, SpaceX did this.
And Elon said, even rockets need hugs. Or how about this angle? And Elon said, hopefully early next year, we will catch the ship too. That's the Starship. And I just wanted to show you this photo here from Thomas Godden. He says, turns out I was absolutely spamming the shutter out of excitement. So here's a landing collage. Cool to see how the TVC gimbals to pitch the booster back to vertical before lowering onto the tower. If you just type in Starship booster landing in X, you will see so many cool videos. Elon went on to say, it'll truly be glorious when the ship is caught too and the whole stack immediately flies again. Full and immediate, no mandatory refurbishment, reusability with low-cost propellant, almost 80% liquid oxygen, no helium pressurant, will mean a marginal cost per ton, 100 times better than Falcon, which is already over 10 times better than the shuttle. This is the fork in the road of destiny that will enable humanity to become a multi-planet civilization. Wow. And getting a bit overshadowed by its bigger cousin Starship, Falcon Heavy launched for the 11th time from Pad 39A in Florida on October 14th, as Eli talked about.
Liftoff of Falcon Heavy with Europa Clipper, unveiling the mysteries of an enormous ocean lurking beneath the icy crust of Jupiter's moon, Europa.
It's kind of funny to think that not only has a Falcon Heavy launch become so commonplace, but also it is no longer the biggest rocket being launched on a regular basis.
And that it's not the only big rocket relanding its boosters. This was the 6th and final flight for the 2 side boosters, which 1 year ago today supported NASA's Psyche and previous missions.
Now, these 2 side boosters were basically sacrificed to get enough Delta V on this launch. So they weren't, they basically expended all of their fuel and burnt up in the atmosphere.
Wait, so they just threw away the boosters?
Well, these boosters have been reused before. And since a Falcon booster costs about $36 million to make, and these boosters were used 6 times, that means that SpaceX saved about $350 million just on these 2 boosters alone.
Wouldn't that be 360 million, like 36 times 10?
Well, it does cost SpaceX about $1 million to refurbish the booster after each launch.
Okay. So, 350 million, not bad.
I think they got their use out of them, and then they got to launch this very important probe.
Elon said, one of our most important launches ever. Super glad it went well. Europa has the highest chance of life in our solar system because of the thick protective shell of ice that covers its ocean. He went on to say, if even simple bacterial life is discovered on Europa, this will be the most significant planetary mission ever. Godspeed, Europa Clipper. Now, Europa is about the same size as our moon, and yet scientists believe that it has more water than all of Earth's oceans combined. Crazy to think about. So we'll know more in 2030. Stay tuned. So SpaceX completed its 100th launch of the year last Tuesday as Falcon 9 with first stage booster B1080 delivered 23 Starlink satellites to orbit.
By the way, that booster, B1080, has had 10 previous flights, including a mission that took astronauts to the International Space Station.
Wow.
And as we reported last week, Elon has said that he was going to do it, and he did it.
Yeah, the California Coastal Commission, which oversees 1,000 miles of California coastline, ruled on October 10th in a 6-4 vote that SpaceX would not be allowed to increase to 50 Falcon 9 launches annually from Vandenberg Space Force Base.
And as Elon said he would, SpaceX filed a lawsuit against the California Coastal Commission last Tuesday, claiming that the vote was politically motivated because of comments made by certain members.
Commission Chair Carol Hart had said during the meeting, "We're dealing with a company the head of which has aggressively injected himself into the presidential race."
And Commissioner Gretchen Newsom said at the meeting, "Elon Musk is hopping about the country spewing and tweeting political falsehoods and attacking FEMA while claiming his desire to help hurricane victims with free Starlink access to the internet."
Elon posted on X, "The Coastal Commission has one job, take care of the California coast. It is illegal for them to make decisions based on what they, mostly wrongly, think are my politics. For example, I've done more to advance sustainable energy and help the environment than maybe anyone ever, which is not exactly a far-right position. Yet here they are shamelessly breaking the law. They should resign immediately and face the appropriate legal consequences for their actions.
We're going to be discussing this further on this week's Patreon bonus stories.
And we'll see if the California Coastal Commission can defend their position in court now. Seems very unlikely, and we'll talk about some case law on Patreon bonus story.
And they're not even getting support from Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
That's right.
Who is politically on the opposite end of Elon Musk. And I think that's, he knows that if he were to support the California Coastal Commission, he'd be committing political suicide because it's undefendable. It's indefensible, their stupid position.
Yep. All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
I know that I talk about how the Henson razor is the best razor in the world. It is, but it is also a money saver. Once you buy this razor, you can use cheap razor blades. Normally, you have to, like, you buy the razor and then you have to buy those heads, which are really expensive. With this, you can simply buy those cheap double-sided blades. And in fact, if you want, you can use our code Now You Know when you check out with this razor, and you can get 100 blades for free.
My favorite part is when we talk to people we know and they're like, I got that razor and I love it.
Yes. Escape into the
future. Well, if you're going to go into the future, then be prepared to have humanoid autonomous robots, robovans, and cybercabs.
Well, not so fast there, bucko. Director Alex Proyas, who directed iRobot with Will Smith, says, hey, Elon, can I have my designs back, please? Hashtag Elon Musk. Hashtag Elon underscore Musk.
Wait, what?
You know, Alex Proyas already designed all of these things back in 2004 when the movie iRobot was released.
Okay, hang on. Alex Proyas didn't design anything. It was a movie. I mean, people have been making movies for over 100 years, and there are hundreds, thousands of movies and TV shows with science fiction robots and robocars. Elon and the teams of designers and engineers at Tesla have made all these real things, Optimus, Robovan, and Cybercab. But even if, you know what, even if you want to pretend for a minute that Alex Proyas designed things, can I just tear apart his argument using the very pictures he posted? So take a look at this. Do these two humanoid robots look even remotely similar? I mean, other than two arms, two legs, a torso, and a head, they don't look anything alike.
Well, there's, they're white.
Okay.
Huh? And let's take a look at Tesla's Robovan. While having somewhat similar trapezoidal shape, because that's what you'd need to have people stand in it, it doesn't really look anything like Alex Proyas's transport. For one thing, the Robovan has no visible wheels, and Robovan is an Art Deco smooth design, and Alex Proyas's transport has sharp, angular, futuristic cyberpunk designs.
And while the cyber cab has butterfly doors like the Robotaxi in Alex Proyas's film, many cars have butterfly doors. The cyber cabs are hinged in the front, by the way, while Alex's are hinged in the back.
And yes, they're both four-wheeled two-seater cars, but the iRobot car was designed by Audi. It's the Audi RSQ.
Someone has a severe case of,
I need attention!
Maybe it's because Alex hasn't really been cranking out the blockbusters lately. I mean, in fact, he never made another commercially successful movie since iRobot 20 years ago. Poor Alex.
The movie iRobot, by the way, didn't even follow Isaac Asimov's book plot. So why didn't Alex name it something else? Like, someday I'm going to get mad at Elon because he stole my design.
So we bought the rights to iRobot. So let's completely rewrite it. But we'll keep the robot part.
You mean the classic and well-known and well-written robot book?
Throw that out and let's hire some hack writers.
Look, and Alex wasn't the only one picking on Elon. Matt Granger, who worked as an assistant to Alex Proyas on the film iRobot, also attacked Elon for stealing the designs and said that Elon had, quote, an utter lack of creativity. Way to suck up, Matt.
An utter lack of creativity. He doesn't get the create part of creativity. Do they think that Elon is making a movie? Maybe they think that Elon's making a movie. They saw all those movie posters and they're like, hey,
it's on a movie set. It's a movie.
He's competing with our movie. He's not making a movie. He's making reality. Also, what's the point of science fiction? Is it to be like, I done it first and you're not allowed to do it because I put it in a book or
it's
a movie?
Patented.
Because when did Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, call up Motorola and complain about the cell phones and be like, all we had to do was have William Shatner go, Kirk to Enterprise, and you had to design like towers and radio frequencies and all this. But you, I came up with the idea. Did Arthur C. Clarke or Stanley Kubrick, who made 2001 A Space Odyssey, like call up NASA to complain about the moon missions? Literally, 2001 A Space Odyssey came out 1968 and they landed on the moon 1969.
You're copying us. Yes.
You don't have any creativity, NASA.
Well, you know who should really be mad? Isaac Asimov. I bet he'd hate this. I mean, when he wrote iRobot, I'm sure he didn't ever want anyone to steal his idea and make walking, talking robots.
No, of course not.
Science fiction is supposed to stay fiction.
I think what he'd really be mad about is the hack movie that they made.
Oh my God, I'm sure he would be. All right, it's time for sunspots. So for the first time ever, rooftop solar has supplied more than 50% of Australia's main electric grid demand.
50%?
Yep.
How many gigawatts are we talking about here?
There's 23 gigawatts of rooftop solar in Australia.
Wow. And how about batteries?
Well, as of mid-2024, Australia had installed over 140,000 batteries. Now, if the average size, I don't know what they are, but if it is like one Tesla Powerwall's worth or 13.5 kilowatt hours, then that would be approximately 1.89 gigawatt hours of household batteries. Now, what's cool is that in just the first half of this year, Australians installed about 30,000 batteries. So battery sales are increasing rapidly. And get this, for the first time, the average share of power produced by burning coal in Australia dropped below 50% for the first time over a seven-day period, and the instantaneous share dropped below 25% for the first time ever. So it's kind of like this balance, right? The more solar you add, the less coal there's going to be burned. Oh, and in the state of South Australia on Saturday, rooftop solar reached a new record of 112.9% of the entire state's electricity demand. The old record was set on New Year's Eve in 2023 of 101.8%.
Wait, 112.9%? So if solar made more energy than people were demanding or using, then what happened to the extra 12.9%?
South Australia exported the nearly 400 megawatts of surplus power to neighboring Victoria. Rooftop solar was producing more than 1,700 megawatts in South Australia, while two gas power plants were making just 80 megawatts. We've completely flipped it. So, I mean, when you talk about grids and you're like, well, this has never been done before, just look at Australia. They're doing it.
And, I mean, there's a reason.
And this is rooftop solar, by the way. That's a big difference. I mean, they still have some solar farms, but rooftops are doing all this.
And we haven't even reached the solstice yet.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Hey, and if you'd like to get solar on your roof so that you can brag, go to our friends at EnergyPal. They know how to do it cheaper and better, and they will give you all that information for free. Tell them that Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember to send your stories to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Julia in Colorado explains how to put on an EV event.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is Julia from Colorado, and I'm at the Lafayette Cars and Coffee, and I wanted to tell your viewers how easy it is to do an EV show. So Lafayette Cars and Coffee is a huge car show, and it's been around for years and years and years, lots of really cool cars. So basically all we do is we made these signs here. They're basically look like street signs that say Electric Avenue, and then I have a spreadsheet of about 120 EV fans who would like to bring their cars to EV shows. So I just send them out an email once a month. And we also put it on Facebook, some Facebook groups as well. And so we get, you know, maybe a dozen EVs every month. All sorts of EV geeks, and it's a lot of fun because we talk to each other too about EV issues and stuff. We also have this sign here that says "Ask us about electric vehicles," and this is my Model 3 here, and I also have this handout that people really like that talks about, this is Colorado with great incentives, talk about how cheap EVs are if you get the incentives. So basically, here's the sticker price, here's the price after, here's the monthly car payment, $25 savings in maintenance, so then you're down to here, and then figure out how much you spend on gas, and then that's your final price. So people really like this handout.
Now you know.
Thanks, Julia.
And thanks, Caroline, for editing it. And it's so great that our community is working together. That was awesome. I think that if you have a car show near you, it's not that hard to do what they said.
That's awesome. All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. And on Patreon this week, we've got so many stories just for our patrons.
We have over half a dozen Patreon bonus stories this week. That's stories only our lovely patrons will see. And that could be you. For just $1 a month, you can see all these stories. Also, our Investor Club bonus stories for our Investor Club members.
So head on over to patreon.com/nowyouknow and support us. Keep independent journalism strong and get all these Patreon bonus stories for $1 a month. See you there. We are back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the Patreon poll that only our patrons can answer. What was the question?
Do you think Optimus will go to Mars first, or will Tesla sell it to customers first?
What did they think?
78% said customers first.
I think they're right.
I mean, because you got to get the rocket.
you got to get him to Mars.
You got to get him to Mars. It is a bit easier and you make a bit more money.
You got to talk to their labor union. Yeah. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. Bojan said, what if most nonprofits are actually scams?
Elon said, unfortunately, many are.
Elon said, it is important in this often difficult and troubled world for there to be things that also inspire and make you feel great to be a part of humanity. He went on to say, good chance that Starship achieves full stack reusability in 2025, which is the critical breakthrough needed to make life multiplanetary. And Doge Designer says, why is Indian billionaire Mukesh Ambani afraid of Elon Musk? Is he worried about Starlink's entry into India, disrupting his telecom empire?
Elon says, I will call and ask if it would not be too much trouble to allow Starlink to compete and provide internet services to the people of India.
Can you picture that? Hello, India. Can you let me into your... Oh, wait. India's government said it will allot spectrum for satellite broadband administratively and not via auction, hours after Elon Musk criticized the auction route being sought by billionaire Mukesh Ambani. Good news for Starlink.
And good news for India. Elon said, much appreciated. We will do our best to serve the people of India with Starlink.
That is amazing that he can just call up a country.
I mean, well, also, it's like... we could have a company that's going to slowly build infrastructure in our whole country and it's going to take a while and they'll have to get permit. Or we could just have SpaceX come in and just
flick a switch.
Sell you a little box that you plug in and now you have internet.
Space Sadoer says Starship version 2.
Elon said, I'm so glad we finally fixed the forward flap design. The old one was killing me, too large and heavy and positioned at 180 degrees, requiring large static aero, not fully stowed. So that pushes the nose backward during the high heat hypersonic phase of flight, which is the opposite of what you want.
Wall Street Silver says the launch tower that SpaceX used to catch the heavy booster was built in a matter of months. NASA is trying to build a much more simple launch tower in Florida, which doesn't catch rockets, and hired Bechtel to do it. The latest estimate is $2.7 billion, and it won't be ready until 2027 or maybe 2029. Maybe NASA should cancel the contract with Bechtel and hire SpaceX to build their new launch tower.
Elon said, when the incentive is to maximize cost, cost will be maximized.
You know who built the big dig in Boston? Bechtel.
Oh, you mean the one that was over budget and over time? Hey, but at least no panels ever fell off the roof and killed anybody.
Right. Oh, right. Ashok Alaswamy said, reflecting on the Wii Robot event, we had 19 cybercabs and 29 Model Ys driving themselves, 1,300 trips transporting over 2,000 guests, continuous operation for over 3.5 hours, and every trip was perfectly safe.
Elon said, great work by the Tesla team.
Doge Designer says, all these outlets are controlled by the same people and have the same script, testy.
Elon said, who sends out the commands to the NPC media puppets? I'd like to meet them. They should really use a thesaurus so that every media outlet doesn't use the exact same words every time.
Elon went on to say, testy is this week's sharpest attack. Space Sadoer says, whoa, Starbase looks really cool from the inside too. This video was taken by Steve Jurvetson from one of the bays at Starbase.
Elon said, Starbase is incredible.
Farzad said Biden snubbing Elon was the biggest fumble ever.
Elon said exactly, that was so messed up.
Visegrad 24 said the EU has warned Elon Musk that it may calculate fines against his social media platform X by including revenue from his other businesses, including SpaceX, XAI, and Neuralink.
Elon said that would be an insane precedent to set.
Elon Musk says protect the Constitution. Elon spoke in Folsom, Pennsylvania last Thursday.
And I think the things we all want are simple, sensible, I think common sense things. We want secure borders. We want safe cities. Sensible spending, so that we don't have crazy inflation. We want freedom of speech. We want the Constitution to be upheld. And you know what? I'm being told at times that these are like right wing values. I'm like, are you insane? This is literally the fundamental values that made America what it is today. And anyone who is against those things is fundamentally anti-American. And the hell with them. Yeah.
Is that the Folsom of the Folsom prison?
I think so.
Interesting.
And Elon said voting should be in person with paper ballots and identification required.
Elon said one could consider any given civilization's progress as percentage completion of Kardashev. By that measure, we are less than 1% towards even type 1.
S.C. Robinson Jr. said, news, California Governor Gavin Newsom has sided with Elon Musk against the California Coastal Commission vote not to increase SpaceX flights at Vandenberg Space Force Base. Per Gavin, quote, I'm with Elon. I didn't like that. Look, I'm not helping the legal case. You just can't.
Elon said, nice to hear.
Shibutoshi Nakamoto says, what's your hidden superpower?
Elon said, video game skills.
Matt says Twitter's blog posts from 2019 to 2024 appear to be missing from Internet Archive.
Elon said, strange. Well, we can provide them again if needed.
Elon said Washington, D.C. has become an ever-increasing ocean of brake pedals stopping progress. Let's change those brake pedals to accelerators so we can get great things done in America and become a spacefaring civilization. David Holtz, the founder of Midjourney, said the rocket catch isn't just like an engineering victory. It's a cultural, spiritual one, too. It stirs in us a deep yearning for science, physics, and the object of truth. Once you taste it, you know we must have more, and this hunger itself may be the driving force of civilization.
Elon said, it is inspiring to see what humans are capable of. Here's looking at you.
Mario says, breaking, mega military contractor caught faking satellite data to take down Starlink.
And Elon said, dirty tricks. So this is from Omnispace. They lied.
And Lockheed Martin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
How are we going to beat SpaceX? We could lie. Elon says, one day Mars will save Earth. I am certain of it.
And then he said, college is overrated.
Yeah, he said, I think the value of a college education is somewhat overweighted. Too many people spend 4 years, accumulate a ton of debt, and often don't have useful skills that they can apply afterwards. I have a lot of respect for people who work with their hands, and we need electricians and plumbers and carpenters, and that's a lot more important than having incremental political science majors. I think we should not have this idea that in order to be successful, you need a 4-year college degree. Now, in Patreon bonus stories this week, we are going to show you Elon's funny story about rockets hitting sharks, but he said, tomorrow I will tell the story of how SpaceX was forced by the government to kidnap SEALs, put earphones on them, and play sonic boom sounds to see if they seemed upset. The regulators made us kidnap SEALs twice. So crazy. Jocelyn Benson said, let's be clear. Elon is spreading dangerous information. Here are the facts. There aren't more voters than citizens in Michigan. And by the way, she is the Michigan Secretary of State.
Elon said, Jocelyn Michelle Benson, shame on you for blatantly lying to the public. You only plan to remove the ineligible voters after this election. That necessarily means that there are far more people registered to vote than there are eligible voters.
Elon said, good rule of thumb, those who frequently use the word disinformation are the ones most likely to be pushing it. He went on to say paper ballots in person with ID is by far the best way to ensure election integrity. And then Stephen King said he's paying to register Republicans.
Elon said all you need to do is sign the America petition in support of the constitutional rights to free speech and bear arms to have a daily chance of winning $1 million. You can be from any or no political party and you don't even have to vote.
Sean McGuire says Democrats are complaining about Elon's efforts in the 2024 election, but they were silent when Zuckerberg did the same thing in 2020. Zuck donated over $400 million with a large amount of that to the Get Out the Vote campaign.
And Elon said 100%.
Elon then said this platform is the number one source of news on Earth. And it's time for Community Mail Time.
Community Mail Time.
So remember, share your stories, photos, and videos with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week coming in?
A couple weeks ago, James rented a Cybertruck and drove it down to Boca Chica Beach. He said it was bloody amazing. And look at this. He saw a fully stacked Starship. Guess which one that was, by the way.
Oh, the Starship 5?
That's Flight 5 Starship. He has it on the pad.
Wow.
That's
historic.
That is a picture from a past era of history.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
A stainless steel truck looking at a stainless steel Starship.
It's insane.
Wow. Matt said, I drove down from the San Francisco Bay Area to the We Robot event in Los Angeles, about 400 miles, on full self-driving in my gloss black Cybertruck, wrapped myself, with We Robot vinyl stickers I had made special for this trip. I'm all in, and it is fun. Life is too short to not be silly and have some fun. You are correct, Matt. That's good for awesome. You.
Deco spotted this Cybertruck in Cripple Creek, Colorado.
Shabir spotted this custom Model X in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Keith just got his new VF8 VinFast in Long Beach, New York.
Oh, you definitely have to write to us, Keith, and tell us how you're liking it after you drive it for a while. Alan spotted this 2011 Fisker Karma in Boucherville, Quebec, Canada. You know, isn't that the same car that's featured in one of my favorite films? It's that Swedish film.
In Order of Disappearance?
In Order of Disappearance. Isn't
that it? I think it is, yeah.
It's such a beautiful car.
It is. Too bad the founder's crazy.
Yeah.
David spotted this Oshkosh EV mail truck test vehicle in East Falls, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's the
new one.
That's the new one.
Doesn't look real.
No. Looks like someone squished the front end. Andrew was blocked from charging by this Ford Lightning up in Ontario, Canada.
And then the Ford Lightning was blocked by the next guy who parked his Model Y there because he parked in such a way.
Oh, he couldn't get out?
He couldn't get out. Now, I'm not saying there's no good real solution to this.
You should de-hitch your trailer so that you don't block
some of these spaces. Especially a small one?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I know that those are a lot easier to de-hitch than big ones. Ulrich spotted this Cybertruck in Dubai.
Wow. Warren spotted two Cybertrucks in Kirkland, Washington.
Glenn found this Ford E-Transit heading north from Dunfermline, Scotland. He said it was nice not to be choking on diesel fumes sitting behind it.
Can I just say the other day I was out in the yard doing some yard work and I stopped being able to breathe for a second and I'm like, what's going on? And I realized a truck had just driven by, a diesel truck. And for like the next 5 minutes, I was choking on diesel fumes. Yeah. Like literally, like I wanted to run away, but there was nowhere to go.
Yeah. So.
From one truck.
Yeah.
Manuel spotted this Parks Canada Model 3 up in Jasper, Alberta. Those burned buildings in the background are from a wildfire.
And Tom spotted this Nissan EV NV200 EV van in Queensland, Australia.
Nice. All right, it's time for beautiful superchargers. Tesla Charging tweeted out, today we opened Enshu Morimachi in Japan, commemorating 60,000 supercharger posts globally and 600 supercharger posts in Japan, Elon said.
Good supercharger progress.
Look how beautiful that is. And then Tesla posted out how it started versus how it's going. Supercharger network turns 12. So this map, you might think it's just a black screen, but if you look very carefully, there's a little red, some little red dots there in California. And then fast forward from 2012 to 2024, and the whole world is lighting up with superchargers. It is beautiful to see. So let's see what we got for supercharger reviews out in the world.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is Eric with a supercharger review for the new 20-stall, 250-kilowatt superchargers located in Wilson, North Carolina. They are conveniently located just off of I-95 at exit 121. And this site used to be a Kangaroo gas station. They demolished it, removed the fuel tanks, as you can see in the picture, and installed prefabbed superchargers. Awesome to see this, and we need more of it. Here we can see my Model 3 charging, as well as a Model Y in the background. And in walking distance is a Crystals, and across, or at least in the same parking lot, is a Waffle House restaurant. Now, in the background, across the street, there is a Taco Bell, but it's a very busy highway, not quite sure if Taco Bell is worth the risk. There are five Circle K branded 180 kilowatt chargers with two cables each. The PlugShare site says that they are free complimentary chargers, but it actually costs 49 cents a kilowatt to charge, kind of pricey. The supercharger fees, however, are only 39 cents a kilowatt, which is much more reasonable. Now, my rating, giving 1 point for each of the features. These are 250 kilowatt chargers, so that gets a point. Easy access from I-95. You have a Crystals and a Waffle House, which is in walking distance. And then finally, there are more than 8 stalls with a total of 20, making this a 4 out of 10 rating. It would have gotten higher ratings if they had free Wi-Fi, pull-in stalls for trailers, a solar canopy, or some kind of cover over the stalls. But hey, maybe at future sites. All right, now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. Coming to you from Mission, Kansas. One of our old V1 supercharger stations here. There's about 6 stalls there. It's been here. One of the first chargers here in the Kansas City metro area. Been lacking in speed for a while, but excited to share they are installing what looks to be a V4. Looks like 12 cabinets here. I say V4 because they're much taller than the V2s and 3s, so very exciting upgrade to this older station. It looks like it's really close. They're the pre-manufactured stations here. Very exciting. It's at a Hy-Vee grocery store, so while you're here, you can do some shopping. There's
couple other restaurants nearby, but really great spot. Desperate for a big upgrade. Give it a 7 out of 10. Now you know.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is David checking in from a new install. It's version 4, and it's got 6 version 4 kiosks at this side. And then there's 2 more kind of behind the building on that side. So a total of 8. And they are Magic Docs. And they're not online yet. There looks like to be very soon. Looks to be just waiting for probably the connections. But there's a place right here, Burger King. And then over here, there's IHOP. And across the street, there's a Starbucks. So there's a lot in this area. And this is a real nice install because the other one in Santa Maria is pretty busy. It's in a parking garage, and there's not actually as many amenities over there as there is here. So again, this is North Santa Maria, and it's at the Main Street off-ramp. And I would probably give this, because of everything close by, probably a 9 out of 10, and because it's a Magic Dock. Now you know.
Howdy, now you know, guys. I'd like to report on a charging place in Post, Texas. They've got 9 stalls, and the reason I stopped, because I don't have a Tesla, but I met a fella from Cedar Park, Texas that has one with a really cool red paint job, and I just wanted to visit with him and ask him. He's had it since May, and it is really cool. This is a great little stop, and you can see the rain's about to get here, so I'm in a hurry. But it's a truck stop here, so it's got bathrooms and food 24/7. Otherwise, there's not too much around here in Post, Texas. I don't even know what the population of this little wide spot in the road is, but there's a great charger station here, and I give this place an 8 out of 10. Now you know.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. If you want to upload your own, you can head over to our website, nowyouknowchannel.com. We have a Supercharger page where you can see a map of all the Supercharger reviews, so you can actually, you know, if you're planning a trip, you can see those videos and you can upload your own.
All right, what do we got for new Superchargers?
We have the 20-stall version 4 in Wertheim-Almosenberg, Germany.
We got number 164 in South Korea, the 9-stall in Seoul.
We got the 12-stall version 3 and 4 in Sindelsdorf, Germany.
We got number 60 in Georgia, the 8-stall version 4 in Columbus.
We got the 12-stall version 4 in Moggendorf, Germany.
We got number 100 in New York, the 12-stall version 4 in Johnson City, New York.
We got the 8-stall version 4 in Hockenheim, Germany.
We have number 51 in the Netherlands, the 16-stall version 4 in Groningen, Netherlands.
Number 226 in Canada is the 8-stall in Kitchener, Ontario.
We have number 12 in Wyoming, the 8-stall version 4 in Gillette.
Number 69 in Washington is the 16-stall version 4 in the town of Federal Way, Washington.
Number 173 Texas is the 12-stall in Uvalde, Texas.
The 20-stall version 4 in Chino, California.
We have the 4-stall version 4 in Hamburg, Germany.
We have the 4-stall version 4 in Murrieta, California.
We have number 103 in Australia, the 12-stall version 4 in Bordertown, South Australia. For a minute, I thought it was in South Africa, but no, there's none in South Africa yet. It's South Australia.
We have the previously mentioned 12-stall version 4 in Enishu, Morimachi, Japan.
We have number 2134 in China, the 3-stall in Meishan, China.
The 8-stall version 4 in Jettingen, Germany.
Number 206 in Germany is the 4-stall version 4 in Mulldorf.
Wow, so we blew past 200 this week.
Yeah, we did.
Number 94 in Italy is the 8-stall version 4 in Naples.
Yeah, we're going to be hitting 100 soon in Italy. Number 26 in New Zealand. I mean, I couldn't believe there's 26 in New Zealand. If you had asked me yesterday, I would have said there's like 8. There's 26 in New Zealand. There's the new one, the 6-stall version 4 in Nelson, New Zealand. Number 22 in Thailand, the 6-stall in Samut Prakan, Thailand.
Number 35 in Connecticut is the 12-stall in Manchester.
Number 503 in California is the 16-stall in Anaheim.
Number 38 in Michigan is the 12-stall version 4 in Caledonia.
Number 88 in Pennsylvania is the 8-stall in Dillsburg.
Number 107 in Taiwan is the 6-stall in Taichung.
Number 79 in North Carolina. Number 2426 in the U.S. is the 16-stall version 4 in Charlotte.
Number 122 in Japan and 6,729 in the world is the 8-stall version 4 in Tokyo, Japan. Thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us today.
I am so lucky to have one of the best jobs in the world. Every week I get to work with my son, whom I love, researching and writing about topics that I am passionate about and sharing all that with you, one of the most amazing communities of people on the internet. Now, I was watching our Key West road trip series that we did back in 2017 in Sparky, You can check it out if you want. It's on our playlist right here on our channel. It's the Key West Road Trip playlist. We met awesome fans. Do you remember we met Nathan? We met Robert, who visited us on our journey.
And we've met so many of you over the years all around the globe.
So thank you for watching and supporting us. And thank you for being awesome.
We'll see you next week. Now you know.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.